May the love of God, our Father, the grace of His Son, our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we quieten our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, Thy children assemble this morning in the name of Thy dear Son, with the confidence in our heart, dear Father, that You know our needs, and that You, who have promised to care for Your own, even to the end of this world, we assemble with that prayer in our heart, that even this morning You would bless our assembly, that You would open Your Word, so Your children could receive food for our undying soul. Dear Father, be with us through Thy Spirit. Give to Thy poor servant words to speak that would be Your Word, that would be filled with the power of Thy Spirit, so Thy children could be uplifted in strength through by faith to continue toward the homeland and shore of heaven. Dear Father, as we even assemble this morning, it is also with thankful hearts, for You have so lovingly cared for us. You have given Your only begotten Son on that first Christmas morning, that He who has been given as the ransom for all, one day shall return again. And in faith we await that day when He comes in glory for His own. So, dear Father, be with us. Uplift us in spirit, in faith, to continue, that we can raise our gaze heavenward, seeing the author and finisher of our faith. Dear Father, we ask for Your blessings. In the name of Thy Son and our Lord Jesus, amen. This morning for our text, we will hear from the Word of God recorded in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 35 through 39. These words in Jesus' name as follows. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. First, even before we consider this read text this morning, here at Cokato has been great excitement over the last couple of days with the Scandinavian bazaar that has taken place. And I have marveled at the amount of work that has been done by so many of you who have given of your time. unselfishly. In so many ways, doing this precious work in God's kingdom. The message is very appropriate when we say that God will repay you. The heart of faith that serves in God's kingdom in many different capacities are gifts that God has given to you. And in faith in your heart, when you have the willingness to also serve, it is a fruit of faith. So we, even this morning, pause before God's Word. And when this text begins, and it speaks about confidence, to you, dear child of God, when you have been able to come to the events of the last couple of days here at the church, it certainly gives us confidence for a few moments in our life of faith. I even look at you, dear children, last Sunday morning and again this morning, when you are preparing for the Christmas Sunday school program. There is great excitement. I think we could say that the confidence in our heart at times of such festivities surrounding Christmas certainly move our heart such that we rejoice in spirit. I am a child of God. God has called me into this great throng of believers. And we have moments in our life when we especially so rejoice and feel the confidence in faith. This is the way toward heaven. This is where I want to remain every day of my life. Yesterday, some of us also had the opportunity to be there at Rockford at the Midwest Mission Region's board meeting. And again, I marveled in my heart at the unity of spirit that we had experienced here in the board meeting in Cokato. And it felt like I could echo the meeting's discussion and the unity of spirit to that meeting in Rockford yesterday when many servants of God's Word, speakers and board members assembled together. And the very same message came forth in that meeting when brothers from so many congregations throughout central United States and Canada assembled together. A moment when the heart rejoices. How could it be anything else but God's kingdom? How else in this world could there be such a place but that here the Spirit of God moves, works in the hearts of His children as one Spirit, uniting, opening, revealing His Word. Even one of the presentations that was given in the beginning touched on such a topic. How do we approach another one? Have you thought of this? I think you have, dear brother and sister, because we, in our life of faith, experience that God has so richly cared for me that I can believe my debt of 10,000 talents forgiven. A debt that would be impossible for me to ever pay to gain the glory of heaven. When we understand in faith that this debt is forgiven, it also moves our heart to reach out to help other brothers and sisters, that they likewise would remain in faith. That we, even there, the discussion touched on how we even think and prepare, that we would not go to another brother or sister with a preconceived idea or prejudice or belittling, but rather have that prayer in our heart that God, who has forgiven me my great debt of sin, would also open His Word and help my brother or sister. And which one of us could say in our life that I haven't needed such help? Rather, as we think this morning, as our text begins, of the great confidence we own in our heart by faith, is not always so confident, is it? We have sometimes, we could say, as a perhaps roller coaster ride, we have those moments of great joy. And we have those moments when we wonder, does faith any longer dwell in my heart? Have I been lost on the wayside, to the right or to the left? And I ask, is this so uncommon to the other brothers and sisters in faith? Think of those Israelites on the journey toward the promised land of Canaan, who had been under bondage for so many years in Egypt. And when Moses led them from that land through the wilderness journey, when they came to the Red Sea, they could see behind them the army of Pharaoh pursuing to destroy them. In front of them was the Red Sea that blocked their progress, or so they thought. Would there not have been many questions, many doubts? The Bible even relates in saying that they began to complain. Wouldn't it have been better that we had stayed there beside the flesh pots in Egypt, under bondage as in slavery, instead of being killed and destroyed here in the wilderness? But God is faithful. God knew their plight. God knew their need. God did not desert them at that moment when they needed help. The clouds obscured the vision from those, that army pursuing them. God said to Moses, "Lift up your staff, and the waters of the Red Sea would open before them." It is hard to imagine how during that night time the waters receded to the east and to the west, so that it created as a dry road through the valley or the bottom of that lake of the Red Sea. So that in the morning, the children of God were able to continue onward as on dry land, as that road opened before them. God did not desert them. God was there in their time of need. And the Bible says that Miriam rejoiced and sang along with those Israelites praises and thanks to the Heavenly Father. Not only did God help them escape from that army of Pharaoh who pursued them, but when the army followed into that road through the bottom of the Red Sea, God destroyed that army. That army that was against the children of God. What a teaching moment for those children of God of that day. What a powerful message to them. How small had been their faith when they began to wonder and question, would they now be destroyed? And God led them forward. Even in the time of Jesus, when He was here upon this earth, the disciples of Jesus followed Him into a ship. And they began to cross, I think it was the Lake Gennesaret. Jesus went to sleep in the ship there, and the storms and the wind began to blow, such the disciples became afraid. They thought, now we will be capsized and we will die of drowning in the lake. But what did those children do? They went to Jesus. Lord, save us, we perish. Jesus awoke. Jesus comforted those children of God. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Couldn't that same message be spoken to you or to me? In our times of doubts, in our times of trials and difficulties in this life, when we can begin to wonder and question of the trials in our life, of the tribulations that have come, what of me? But do not forget, even here and now, this Christmas season, the promise that God has given, that Christ who rose from the dead, Christ who ascended to the right hand of God the Father, is promised that He will come again. Child of God, let the oil remain in your lamps. Let that oil continue to burn. That when that message is sounding forth, there will be oil in your lamps. Faith will be in your heart. The power of the Holy Spirit would be there directing you in the life of faith. This morning, remember, God is faithful. As He has promised to care for us, as He has promised to be with us, as He has promised that He will not give too great of a burden for us to bear. He is faithful, as He has promised. Yes, we have those moments of such great confidence in faith. But we have those moments when it seems that the reality of our life also sets in. My flesh is so close. I am so prone to sin. I am so prone to do that which is contrary to God's Word. But the altar of grace is as such of a lowly place in God's kingdom that he who feels that he is the biggest sinner, the weakest one to be able to get to, that altar, it is there, dear child of God, at such of a place that in faith when we are touched by God's Word, and that power of the gospel that comes forth, son and daughter, be of good cheer. Believe, your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Gives into our heart that message of which is recorded in the book of Matthew. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This is why we believe. Because we await that place in heaven. This is why we put sin away. For sin is what would separate man from God. But dear child of God, when we put sin away and we believe it forgiven through the redemption work of Christ, it is forgiven as far as the east is from the west. We do not have permission to remember it any longer. I can remember from my confirmation school many years ago, but the minister who was doing that confirmation camp asked us a question. What is easier, to forgive or to forget? Aren't we quick, dear child of God, when a brother or a sister asks for the gospel? God's Word opens our mouth to preach that gospel to a travel friend in need. But there at that confirmation school so many years ago, the message was also this. Not only do we forgive, but we forget that which is forgiven before God in heaven. For God says that He would not remember any longer. That at that time when the book of life is opened, the sin debt of a child of God living by faith is wiped clean by the blood of the Lamb. Thus, it pays to put sin away. It pays to believe. Because the reward is so great. A place in heaven eternal. That is what you and me wait for. So the confidence that we find, as even God's Word says here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience. Paul writes to the Romans, and I think you and me alike, with the portion of flesh that we carry so many times, needs to learn about patience. Is patience so natural for you and me? I think many times it is not. But Paul wrote to the Romans when he said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul there is thanking the Heavenly Father because of those trials and tribulations he has experienced. Perhaps because they have taught him that it would be utter disaster if he didn't hold on to the treasure of faith. He is thanking the Heavenly Father that those trials and tribulations that have come have taught him that come what may, the most important matter in his life is that he would hold on to faith and a good conscience. Paul even wrote to young Timothy when he says that instructing young Timothy as a beginning servant of the Word to keep faith and a good conscience. And he speaks of those who did not do so that have suffered shipwreck from their life of faith. In other words, have lost faith, have not been able to hold on to that treasure in their heart, have not held fast to the hand which God has extended, have not lived any longer of the message of the gospel. Thus, they have no longer waited in patience. Even when I think of this message here, when it speaks about us waiting in patience, I think as well as of our understanding in faith. God, who is the giver of life, and God, who is the taker of life. Our time is in God's hand. So many ways in the Bible, God's Word teaches us to wait for the time of God when our life here upon this earth would end. We see around us how people become so desperate or give up in life that they take their own life, which is even contrary to God's Word. But the Bible tells us that we would with patience wait for the second coming of Christ, when our life would end in this world according to the time of God. And thus, those joyous wedding bells would sound, calling such a traveled one who ended their life on this earth in faith. Those eternal wedding bells which would begin to sound. James writes of the reward of waiting in faith. In the first chapter, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. That is the reward of being patient in faith. child of God. That reward awaits. That reward is there awaiting with Your name when you live by faith. For yet a little while, and He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Thus, God's time is not even our time. We do not begin to understand the time of God. Our entire life may be as the blink of an eye to the Heavenly Father. But how important it is, even when Luther, I think, used that example of those birds which fly over our head, as those temptations into sin. He says, let not those birds roost in your head, into your hair, that we would not become partaker of those sins, that we would not fall into the trap and the snare of the enemy of soul. Fight the fight of faith. As a soldier of Christ, and battle together in the army of God here upon this earth, supporting and strengthening one another. What happens with that soldier that goes to battle if they become lax, if they become lazy, if they no longer watch for the enemy? Aren't those the ones who very quickly are destroyed? And the enemy continues to try to battle against God's Word, to steal that little sheep from the edge of the flock that is not watching and wary of the enemy. You and me do not have of ourselves such power and strength to be successful against that enemy. But we need in our heart that oil of the Holy Spirit. And we need that heart of a child that listens to the teaching voice in our heart, teaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that teaching voice in God's congregation that speaks to us to draw near, as I think here in our text, in the earlier part of this same chapter, God's Word says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. It is not long when we fight this fight of faith that Christ soon will come again. So now the just shall live by faith. And those same words are quoted by Paul to the Romans in the first chapter, when he begins, first of all, by writing in this way: for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. From generation to generation. From child of God to child of God. Throughout ages, the Word of God has been the same. That same message has continued throughout generations. In God's kingdom, the same way to attain heaven, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those who are God's elect those who are children of God, those who are known as believers, have in their heart the desire to live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Either in faith or in the world, we cannot travel with one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. The heart cannot be divided, either one place or the other. God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Have that hope of heaven in your heart. That eternal Christmas time soon will dawn for you, dear travel friend in Christ, that you will hear such a message. Here is the crown of glory reserved in heaven for you. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God's warning in the ending of our text has even here this warning or exhortation. Don't draw back. It is speaking of those who have lost faith, who have given up on the journey toward heaven, have become engulfed in the things of this world, that have become more important, the temporal things of this world, more important than the treasure of heaven. And the temporal things of this world can be gone in the wink of an eye, gone by fire, destroyed overnight, gone by a thief, as the Bible uses the example. In one portion of God's Word, it relates of those who have at one time had faith and they have lost the treasure of faith. It says of those who have lost and have no longer held faith. Peter writes in his second epistle, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome," that is, have lost faith, "the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." God's Word, so direct, of those who would lose, who would give up the treasure of faith, that go to such utter destruction. God's Word is recorded, even in such a way, dear travel friend in Christ, as a warning to us to put sin away, that we would not become into that situation as that example as Peter writes, to the outer darkness of this world. And so the concluding verse of our text, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." It is so good, dear child of God, when we own this confidence of faith in our heart, It is not founded on things of this world. It is not founded on things of this world that can be destroyed or that need to change in advance with modern technology. But it is founded upon the rock of our salvation, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that a comforting message? The way of faith, the way toward heaven, does not change. Doesn't it sometimes touch your own heart as it does mine? When you can listen to brothers come from Finland, around the globe, many thousands of miles away, or other servants who come from whatever congregation across the United States or Canada, and the message and the way toward heaven is preached the same way. This is God's kingdom, where the one Spirit opens and reveals God's Word, opens and reveals the way toward heaven. So, child of God, hold fast to the profession of faith that God has given to you, that Christ has paid your debt of sin on the middle cross of Golgotha. Hold on to the confidence in your heart that by faith one day you will hear read from that Lamb's Book of Life your name, heaven acceptable. Continue in faith. This morning, even amidst the trials and difficulties you have experienced, even you who may have come to the services this morning, feeling as the poorest, the smallest, the weakest child of God, the one who surely must be the most doubting, you, dear child of God, have permission to uplift your heart and believe, all your sins and failings forgiven, in Jesus' name and precious blood. You can be free. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven as you believe this preached gospel message. There is reason to sing the songs of Zion, sing the songs of Christmas that echo the message from our heart that I am a child of God and I am on the way toward heaven. Your confidence, dear child of God, founded upon God's Word and the redemption work of Christ, is confidence that is worth continuing to hold. Be of good cheer. Believe your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. I also need to hear from my own doubting, my own sin that so often besets. Can you forgive me for my many sins and my doubts? Dear child of God, our King will come in glory. Uplift your gaze heavenward to see the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude with the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.